You know, Paul, it looked muggy outside. That's why I asked you.
Yeah, no, it feels that way. But it's, you know, that's summer. It'll make all our skin feel really saturated.
Yeah. Really, I was at a picnic yesterday and steak dinner Friday night. And I've discovered, I rediscovered sweating.
Well, I actually had been sweating yesterday, and then we went down to this one of the great swimming hole areas in swimming holes in the entire area, and I'm not going to mention where it is because I want to keep it a secret. There's a beautiful waterfall. It's this big kind of deep glen. It's very deep. I went in my Stark self, and it was freezing.
Well, because the snow is still. Send your emails to Paul Smart and care of WGX.
Yes. Yeah, both my wife and kid went, what? Yeah, but I'm sorry. This time of year, you know, this weekend in May is always the time when I go in for the first time. And it's usually one of these cold creeks. And you know, my wife says, why don't you learn? I said, I have. I like it. It's refreshing.
I have the Kinderhook Creek right abuts my property, and it is cold. I don't care how hot it is outside, that creek is cold.
Yep. Well, it was a big weekend this past weekend with all the colleges around here, pretty much all across the country, doing their graduations. You know, there was a big graduation over at Columbia Green Community College. And then there were the kind of, you get a sense of how important the Hudson Valley is by the stature of the people speaking at commencements around here. And, I did not write down the spelling of her name, but the woman who from Liberia who won the
won the Nobel Peace Prize,
Nagawa, I think. But she spoke at Vassar College yesterday. At Bard, just down the road from here, was Newark Mayor Cory Booker, who's a real up and comer. And then down at Marist was Chuck Todd, the NBC News Director, Washington News Director. So, and then actually coming up this weekend is, you know, the biggie in the area at West Point, which is it's like only an hour south of us here, but the Vice President's going to be speaking there, and you can share something interesting.
There's always a surprise when he speaks.
But there's always a truth, too.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
The interesting thing there. I mean, the other big thing, you know, there's just a lot of stuff going on over the weekend, and over in Coxsackie was the second annual Riverside Brew Fest as kind of a celebration of local microbreweries, and we hear everybody had a good time. Nobody fell in the water. The big event, which was sort of a surprise, was the opening of the new Hannafords in Livingston, over where I guess it's Route 82 and 23 come together. And they had about over 300 people showed up.
Oh, wow.
And it was supposed to open at 7 a.m., and people had started forming a line at 5:30 a.m. for the opening of a grocery store. So they opened 10 minutes early at 6:50. And you know, I recall, you know, it's a big thing up here, and it's something that you don't realize when you're living in a city or out in the Midwest, even how important it can be to get a new grocery store in your community. I remember up on the mountaintop when they opened the Grand Union, and they're just for weeks there are people kind of going up and down the aisles looking, look at this, there's artichokes in a jar. You're just kind of amazed. And what's also amazing, though, is that these stores tend to pack everything in for the first few weeks. They just have the biggest, you know, variety of goods on their shelves. Mm-hmm. And then after about 2 or 3 months, it kind of dwindles back down to the, you know, the store brands. There's also a big celebration up in Kinderhook on Sunday in the afternoon when the Reformed Protestant Dutch Church there turned 300.
Wow.
Which is quite a thing, and it reminds us, you know, what an important community Kinderhook was. You know, I mean, it produced a president. It was, kind of one of the great centers of upstate New York.
A 300-year-old church, that's quite a lineage.
It certainly is. There was an interesting thing in the in the Daily Mail last week about an international duo of kayakers, a British expeditioner renowned throughout the world, and he's doing a kayak journey down all of New York State waterways, and his name's Richard Harpem, and he stopped through Coxsackie and overnighted last Tuesday with his photographer friend who's kind of documenting the whole trip, Glenn Charles, and a number of local kayakers joined him for the paddle down from Coxsackie to historic Catskill Point. And, you know, that's there's another reminder just how important the river continues to be in our
absolutely
lives.
Absolutely. And I guess we've got I haven't even taken a look at what's coming up this weekend, but this weekend usually starts all of the events.
Yeah, and we'll get into that towards the end of this whole thing. It's just a whole pile. But continuing on last weekend, we had the, you know, Claverack had this library sale that I actually got through there on Friday, you know, as they were just finishing setting up, and they had tons of books for sale, and supposedly it was just record figures, both in terms of the amount of money it raised for the library and the number of people who came out. And I don't know if any of you've been to Claverack, but it's just one of the sweetest little libraries around here. It was built as a library. It's just got this my kid just loves to go there and pull. They have the best selection of Tintin books anywhere in the Hudson Valley.
Okay.
And Asterix, and he just lines them all out up on the floor and just lays there with them, picking which ones he wants next. Over again, back in Greene County, they had a fishing derby day on Saturday at Catskill Point again, and over 50 contestants came out between the ages of 5 and 15, and, you know, lots of prizes and a lot of fun just, you know, casting out there and seeing what one could catch.
I ran into a young man at the gas station on his way there. He was fetching a bucket of worms.
Uh-huh.
And he looked really excited.
Yep. There's nothing like, you know, I'll never forget when Milo, I think he was 4, and he caught a fish over at Wave Farm, which is kind of the, you know, the mother ship for WGXC. And you know, they've got some wonderful stocked ponds over there. And maybe I shouldn't mention that, but he just had it was delighted to pull in a trout. I've only pulled in one in my life, and you know, he's, you know, his first time he got one.
The 4-year-olds always do it.
I know.
Haven't you ever heard the "Bet You're Going Fishing" song? The baby always catches the fish.
There was a thing last week. This also came out of the Daily Mail where ESPN filmed a whole segment up at the Customato boxing gym in Catskill on Thursday. And, there was a training thing going on, and local boxer Kevin Rooney Jr., the son of the great trainer for Mike Tyson, was supposed to be competing this past weekend. And we'll have to fill you in on that next week. You know, the other thing, kind of moving on into news items, there's been a lot of talk here in Hudson about, in addition to all the continuous talk about preservation issues and Galvan, which, as a lot of people in Catskill in Greene County say, look, if you don't want the, you know, Galvan buying up all the buildings in Hudson, send them over here. And I know there's a lot of communities that want that. But but it's also Hudson's at a different point in its development and growing in a different sort of way, and it's at a juncture right now where it's trying to figure out how best to do it in a democratic fashion. Anyway, one of the big things that's been in the background here in the city has been a new round of what they call community development block grants that's coming through, and these are funds that. Usually a large chunk, about $500,000, that comes into a community and then starts to revolve within that community once that grant gets, or the loans part of it gets repaid. There's monies that stay in the community. And they had a public hearing to look at applications last Thursday, and only one person came to the meeting. And the problem was that, and the proposal that they had, which was for the Acres Co-op Food Market, which used to be downstairs right here, isn't applicable to the grant program. So everybody's kind of looking for more ideas. The key to it is that it has to engage and work with the lower income portion of the community. And farmers markets just aren't there at this point. It's more bricks and mortar than that. So get out your good ideas. Go to the Register Star, and you can look up the story there. And there'll also be something on our own newsroom blog at some point today or tomorrow. Kind of other progress in terms of bricks and mortar things, it looks like the long planned for and fundraised for Greene County YMCA is getting ready to break ground early next year. They're looking to start. And it's going to be smaller than it was originally planned for, and they decided not to put the swimming pool in, which that was kind of the big pull in the first place, because there is no public swimming pool in Greene County.
Oh, wow. So, and so they decided not to put it in.
And that's, you know, that's at some point, you know, it might be good to do a community forum or something where we can look into that and how do we deal with something like that on a countywide basis. You know, there was already a lot of controversy at the beginning when they decided to put it in Coxsackie at the northern end of the county, which has more of a relationship with Albany County and the city of Albany than mm-hmm. down in Catskill, which is a county seat. You know, we got through all of that, but now, you know, the pressing need for some sort of a swimming pool in Greene County that could be used by the public is becoming more and more important. You know, I know in Catskill years ago there was a fund set up for a swimming pool, and it's been sitting for several years. It's got somewhere between 100 and 200,000 in it, but the problem is that every time discussion of that's come up in candidate nights or at town meetings or village meetings in Catskill, the big stumbling block is everybody's afraid of the liability question and the insurance costs tied with pools. But, you know, on the other hand, you know, having spent time in Alaska and other, you know, states around the country, you know, I've come to realize that having a community pool of some sort really is a benefit that serves much more than its intended.
Yeah, I would say there's a residual support for having the pool.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, you know, the fact of the pool at the school here in Hudson has, you know, really serves a function, and, you know, a number of communities around here that have pools. I know Saugerties has that, and down in, you know, even down as you get into Ulster County, beleaguered communities like Ellenville, where it has a pool that's available all year round, it really helps to pull the community together.
Yeah, and it gives the young people some place to go during these lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer.
And us older people who like to, you know, kind of pretend we're in a giant senior soup. You know, you know, other news last week, there was that fire at the daycare center down at the end of, at the beginning of Warren Street at Hudson Daycare, which forced an evacuation of the building. It was a porch fire and not hugely dangerous, but, you know, still that's a traumatic thing for a kid. In Athens across the river, they finally are starting a townwide revaluation, which is something that's necessary. There are a number of towns around here, and we'll come back to this at some point, that have not done revals in 25, 30 years. And it means that their taxes aren't being assessed fairly. That what usually happens is that somebody buys a property and your assessment goes up on it because mm-hmm. it has to be more current. But you have people who have not been assessed in 25, 30, 40 years. You know, they're paying a much lower rate of taxes. So the way they say it, it doesn't change your tax load when you do a revaluation. It just makes it fairer. And this is something that we're discussing on a national basis these days, is how to make our tax system more fair. In a town reval, usually what happens is that a third of the properties go down, a third of the properties go up, and a third stay the same. What makes it difficult is that a lot of times the third that goes up are those that are kind of entrenched in the political system, so they often hold off. And this is, you know, you know, I could go through town by town and show situations where, you know, those who are fighting hardest against a revaluation have the lowest assessments on their properties.
Okay.
But Athens, the town of Athens, is undergoing it, and kudos to them. You know, it takes several months to complete. It's usually pretty... It's hardest coming into the decision to make a reval, and afterwards, it's everybody accepts it pretty quickly.
Now, what does that entail? Every single piece of property in the town is reevaluated?
Yeah, yeah, and it usually it's an expensive deal, and it involves, you know, there's state funding help for it because it's more than a town can usually take on in itself.
Yeah, I can imagine.
You know, it costs hundreds of thousands of dollars to send people out there to every house and kind of look at it and see what the property is and compare it to what's on the rolls. You know, and the problem is that sometimes towns try to, you know, and other municipalities try to do it in a more selective way over a period of time. But the problem is that it's selective and you can't tell whether it's true. You want somebody coming in from the outside,
right,
pretty much.
You want an honest number.
Yeah, because there's just all over the region, there are lawsuits around badly done selective revaluations, and it's something you want to avoid. The Village of Catskill has approved its budget for the coming year. They had a meeting last week at the Catskill High School auditorium, and you know everybody's kind of held off on any salary increases. There's no salary increases for trustees, DPW workers, non-union employees, and their contract negotiations are ongoing with the police department. You know, that's all pretty good. Where there's been difficulty over in Greene County is that the towns of Athens and Catskill are actually in a difficult standoff. Have you come across this news story? What happened is that for years, Catskill would provide the ambulance service for Athens.
Oh, yes. Okay, yeah.
And the new town supervisor, you know, was having, you know, he's a kind of staunch Republican, and the supervisor in Athens is you know, a long time, is a Democrat, and they had a clash about costs and use of services, and the Catskill supervisor, Joe Leggio, said he was going to terminate all ambulance service to Athens starting mid-June. And so Athens is having emergency meetings on how, you know, what to do, you know, as an alternative. And it's just something that, you know, we're in an age where, you know, we keep talking about shared services and better cooperation between municipalities, and this runs against that. And it's something that was sort of, you know, for those who are political watchers around here, could kind of see it coming just in the personalities at play. But hopefully they'll be able to solve something and move beyond these differences and work towards the greater good of everybody and not just look at it as a fiscal matter, but as something where there's a deeper responsibility to people's health and welfare. You know, looking back over last week's school elections, which, you know, were covered fully last Wednesday and Thursday, you know, the big thing that seems to have come out of this is that, you know, the 2% property tax cap has solved one problem. It's made it easier. It seems to have made it easier to pass a budget because there's not, the controversy is occurring in the budgeting process to get to that 2% cut. That override clause that allows a town to buck the 2% property tax cap by having a 60% approval just isn't working. Last week at this time we said that the key race around here was going to be Germantown, which was the only district in our area that was trying that. The only district farther south in Ulster and Dutchess counties that was trying it, from what I've been able to discern, was in New Paltz. In both situations, the vote went down by large numbers, and it wasn't even a majority for it. You know, they were trying to get 60%, and they'd end up getting like 35-40% of the vote. And it was as if the taxpayers, the constituency resented the fact of being asked to give a little bit more. So we're just not at that point yet where people are ready to volunteer their aid to school districts.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I keep talking about the tilting point. It's got to come sometime soon.
Yeah, I mean, on the other side, in terms of that tilting point, was the fact that a lot of incumbents this past time, and so there's a lot of new talent on school boards. Now, you know, some cases it's a very progressive idea where they want to, you know, support the idea of education, and instead of cutting teachers all the time, you know, the general tone is let's cut administration, let's cut the higher part of the structure and not the base. But then, you know, there's several other areas where the big winners, you know, come from longstanding local families and have a real taxpayer bent. So it's kind of all over the map in terms of how things went with the school votes last week. Although the two lessons coming out of it are that, you know, people have to pay more attention to the budgeting process early on, and that, the next area that's really going to be the focus of cuts will be administration and the top-heavy areas. And people realize that they want good teachers, they want decent-sized classrooms, you know, or class sizes, and they want to keep a lot of the programs that enrich a student's life. So we'll see how that shakes out over the coming year, and we'll get some sense of it in the next month or two as the school year comes to a close, and over the summer the school boards kind of set their, they choose their presidents, vice presidents, et cetera, and then they set sort of a general sense of agenda for the coming year. So we'll be watching that closely. As an adjunct to that, up in Ichabod Crane Central School District in Valencia and Kinderhook, the local towns or the town of Kinderhook and the village of Valencia are going to be taking ownership of the old Martin Glynn Elementary School, which had been mothballed last year, and it'll now become a municipal building, and that's sort of a good change of use and looks good. There's a lot of closed school buildings around here, and it's sort of an eyesore until they can start to find new uses. Over in Catskill, for instance, the old Irving Elementary School, which is just a gem of a building, was pegged for being turned into loft housing, and it got caught in the recent recession. Now there's talk about it being turned into rentals, kind of high-end rentals. And I don't know, it's stalled since it was first proposed a few months ago. But the other big building up there that's people forget about is the old St. Patrick's private school up on Woodland Avenue, very close to the river. And the big talk around that is having it become some sort of a study center of some sort.
There is an awful lot of empty school space in this area, isn't there?
Yeah, if you drive all around Columbia County, I mean, the big one here is Akawamak. It's one of those Native American names.
I remember Lynn reporting a few weeks back on them dropping the price on the school over here in Greenbush. Mm-hmm. I believe because they still hadn't been able to sell it.
Yeah, they're all over the place, and they're good buildings.
Yeah,
and they're they can really serve to refocus a community in a different sort of way. But you know, you have to have the will within the community to be refocused. This was something that came up last weekend at the as part of the whole Wall Street to Main Street mm-hmm. project. They brought the Transition Towns movement came to Catskill, and Transition Towns is something that started in Great Britain, I guess it was about 10 years ago or so, and first came to the States in 2008. They had their first kind of training session meeting in Sebastopol, California, And at this point, there are 400 of these transition towns around the country. And the idea is that, you know, climate change is a big thing. It's coming in. We got to prepare for it on a local level within a community. And
right.
So it works within a community to, you know, builds up people to train on how to work with what a community wants, what's already there in terms of infrastructure and kind of community groups, and then start building from there. In this area, there was a training session that took place in Rosendale last year, exactly at this time. 7 people went through the training, and as a result, you have transition towns now in throughout Ulster County. This was the first time it was tried up in this area, and a lot of trainers came out, but as happens in Greene County, a lot of times there are 4 or 5 people from the community, and they're the same people who come out to everything.
Right.
And everyone's trying to figure, well, how do you now, you know, spark the community? Can you do, you know, do you risk burnout by using the same 4 or 5 people on everything?
And that's what happens in a lot of, in the communities and a lot of organizations.
Yeah. And it's, maybe, is it, you know, have we just reached a point as a society where we just have to, you know, too much baggage, or we want to watch TV too much?
Well, you know what it is? I think folks are just too busy, doing what they have to do. Excuse me, but they don't seem to realize that these things have a direct effect on them.
Yeah, yeah. It's a, you know, so, but, you know, that's attempting. I know there's a lot of work going on right here in Hudson now around this schools directive, and there's a lot of money coming in, and there's just a lot of talk. So things are going well here. Moving on into other things, there is Dick May is continuing his Seeing Green blog and has come up with a lot of information recently on what's going on with the arts and with real estate and banking over there. It's something that, you know, we suggest everybody take a look at. He's very good at finding the you know, some of the key news items that are under the surface. Of course, he also goes on a bit about how boys are continuing to do a lot worse than girls in all their school testing, you know, and he's very good at pointing out anytime somebody makes a grievous factual error or typo in their news coverage around the area. Also in the blogosphere, there is the spirit of or Sam Pratt, and his blog has pointed out that there's now going to be a pontoon ferry boat running back and forth between Hudson and Athens.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, that's, we'll have more on that. It'll be between, on the half hour, between 5 and 10:30 p.m.
Oh, I might just get on that just to ride.
Yeah, then, I mean, there is the Crossroads Brewery over in Athens, which is pretty nice.
And, I leaned against a bar there once or twice.
Yep, so that's a big change. You know, there is you know, very interesting story about you know, unfortunately the headline printed in a color that my printer did not have, so I lost the glorious headline which everybody was passing around, but it had to do with 2 vehicles striking 3 cows on early Friday morning down at Kinderhook. In Kinderhook. And what happened, yeah, I mean, it was, I mean, what got me besides the headline, which is now lost, was the fact that this was a, you know, 26-year-old woman from Chatham driving her Subaru at 1:56 in the morning, and she hit 2 cows. And she was okay, but that's, I mean, that just must have been a shock.
Oh, my goodness. I can imagine about where it took place in Kinderhook, if it took place on Route 9.
Meanwhile, that old project across the river, the Lafarge Ravina cement plant, their environmental manager, John Regan, has come out and said that, you know, when the EPA passes new rules for the cement industry, that they, you know, however they change, we will comply with them, he says. Well, now, is that an obvious statement or what? you know, there is also the Register Star again listed all the food inspection violations around the county, and we won't go over all of those in detail because hey, we've got a lot of, you know, oh, we want to eat in these places.
And by the way, this is what I love about the New York State Police Department. They always tell you ahead of time what they're going to do.
Oh, the DWI.
That's right. And well, this week, for the next 2 weeks, it's going to be seatbelts. So, folks, and it's always so funny because the state police make an announcement. So they're like really giving you a chance. They say this 2 weeks is going to be cell phones. Mm-hmm. So you really, you know, you got to wise up. Yeah. You shouldn't be on your cell phone in those 2 weeks when they say that they're going to be a crackdown. So there is going to be a crackdown over the next 2 weeks on seatbelts, folks. So
buckle your seatbelts, but don't be talking on the cell phone at the same time.
Don't be.
They're going to be looking. Yeah,
talking on the seatbelt talking on the phone with an unbuckled seatbelt. It's seatbelt buckle challenge. So buckle up, folks. Crackdown starts today on Monday and lasts for 2 weeks.
Okay. Just a couple things coming up. Tonight there's going to be a thing at 450 Main Street in Catskill. They're in the final week of this Wall Street to Main Street stuff, and there's at Occupy Books there's going to be a live poetry reading and open mic with it's going to be hosted by Rebecca Wolf, who has a great show here on WGXC, and is just a major poet and kind of literary figure on an international level at this point. And amongst the people who will be reading, the featured readers will be Sandra Hicks, who has a publishing house called Soft Skull. And Soft Skull actually got very famous back during the Bush years when it published, there was a book about Bush's wild years and drinking, et cetera, that got dropped by a major publisher, and Sander picked it up and published it, got in a lot of trouble, managed to do okay. He's going to be reading Sparrow, the great, funny poet and one of the wildest thinkers around, and Sam Truitt, who's been involved quite a bit with a lot of things around the radio station. That's from 6 to 8 p.m. at 450 Main Street in Catskill. Also, this weekend on Saturday, there's a big walk. It's called Occupy the Landscape, a human rights walk, and it's going from the Woodstock Green, leaving at 8 a.m. and walking to Catskill. And they're expecting several hundred people to be walking. It ends up in Catskill, and at 7 p.m. there's a big potluck dinner at Doubles 2, which is on, I believe it's Church Street in Catskill. And that's a fundraiser for the Wall Street to Main Street project and WGXC as well. And one of the things that's going to be interesting there is a young man from Catskill who has lost one of his legs in a motorcycling accident a few years ago. Richard, he's a great tattoo artist, is going to be walking the last few miles of that and bringing a lot of his friends on. And then finally, kind of ending up that whole Occupy occupation in Catskill, there's a free Sunday afternoon one-man reading of a new play based on the Zuccotti part. It's based on the whole occupation movement, and it's called No Room for Wishing, and that's from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Brick Gallery at 473 Main Street on Saturday. On Sunday. Some big birthdays. It's like a big birthday day. You know, it's been a whole big birthday week. It's the Notorious...
Notorious B.I.G.
Biggie Smalls would have been 40 today.
That's right. And he would have been 40.
Yeah. And then you've got one of my favorites, Ronnie Isley, of the Six Isley Brothers.
Uh-huh.
And Ronnie was the one at the age of 16. He was the lead vocalist on that Chestnut Shout.
Mm-hmm.
And then just has been the voice of the Isley Brothers for many years. Mr. T has a birthday.
T turned 60 years old.
Leo Sayer, and I can't remember what weird song he did, but
I forgot.
That's okay. Let's just leave it like that. You know, Al Franken, who was one of the maybe the only people in history to go from being a top comedian to being a top senator.
To a top senator, that's correct.
You know, kind of on the darker side, Jeffrey Dahmer, but balancing him out in the Jeffrey line, there's Jeffrey Tobin, who's one of the great economic writers of our times.
And don't forget Raymond Burr, and that's Waller.
Oh, Fats, okay.
That's Waller. I might have to look up Ain't Misbehaving before the end of the day. And we had discussed it, what a wild 4 or 5 days it had been as far as famous people from the early 1970s music era passing away. LaDonna Adrienne Gaines, Donna Summer, she passed away on the 17th of May of lung cancer. And then Robin Gibb just passed away yesterday of colon cancer. And Chuck Brown, Mr. Go-Go himself, passed away. So it was quite an interesting weekend. Well, it all happened in threes.
Yep. But we were also discussing the beautiful oddness of that song, MacArthur Park.
We opened with MacArthur Park.
But we're going to close with MacArthur
Park. I
pointed out that there's a version of MacArthur Park that just cuts to the quick. And I send this one out to my wife. Lost